Well, with the Word of God, I invite you to open with me to Genesis chapter 27, and our text will be drawn from verses 34 and 38. I thought for a long time that I knew what my message was going to be today. I had even prepared it more than a week ago. I was going to speak to you from the book of Acts on Paul's final address to the Ephesian elders. That's what I thought. But the Lord wanted me to share something different today. I'm quite convinced of it. And it came out of the final demonstration or the final activity from Paul's final address is that they gathered around one another and they blessed each other. And it was out of that that God brought to my mind to share with you on this day, Father's Day, June 21st, 2009, the message that I've titled, Blessed in Order to Be a Blessing. Why would God bless you or bless me? It's because He would want you to be a blessing. But I'm convinced that not many of us know all that we need to know about the blessing. And those of us who think we know some things about the blessing, we misunderstand it completely. If you've ever asked me, how are you doing, then you've probably heard me say, and you may be even growing tired of me saying, I'm blessed, or I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. Some of you don't know why I say that, and the answer is simple, because I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. Now, I don't say that to be arrogant. I don't say that to be pious. I say that because it's true. God has blessed His children. God has set before His children a blessing or a curse. He said, please choose your blessing. And so today I think of Truth Tabernacle of Praise, and I think of a church. I think of people who have been blessed. I don't know that you know all of the ways that you've been blessed, but you've been blessed in order that you might continue to be a blessing. You might remember the prayer of Jabez. Jabez cried out and he prayed, bless me indeed, O Lord. I want you to enlarge my territory. I want you to increase my opportunities. I want you to take me by the hand, and I want you to protect me from evil so that I will not cause pain all the days of my life. I believe that Truth Tabernacle of Praise needs to continue praying the kind of prayer like Jabez prayed. Bless me indeed, O Lord, so that we might in turn be a blessing. But what does it mean when we say we are blessed and we are highly favored? What was Jabez asking when he said, bless me indeed? I want to share with you three things today. It should not surprise you. About being blessed in order to be a blessing. First of all, let's see if we can determine the identity of the blessing. Let's see if we can go to the Word of God and see if we can determine the identity of the blessing. When we read the opening chapter of the Bible, we discover a startling fact, one that the world would need to come to understand, and that is that we didn't evolve from anything. We were created by a divine decree from Almighty God. But what we might be surprised about if we've gotten that fact down, that we were created, not evolved, is that God desired a general blessing for His children when He created us. God desired a general blessing for all of His children when He created us. Listen to what the Word of God says when He was talking about the creation mandate. It says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. And then in verse 28, look at what it said. And God, what? And God blessed them. And God told them about their blessing. Can I hear somebody say amen? Amen. But I still haven't told you what it means to be blessed. From the very creation of the man and woman, Adam and Eve, God said, I want you to be blessed. So what does that word blessed mean? The word for blessed, or the word for blessing, means to endue with power for success, for prosperity, and longevity of life. When it says that God blessed Adam and Eve, it said God endued them with the power to be successful. He endued them with the power to be prosperous. Prosperous. He endued them with the power to endure and to enjoy the longevity of life. And so today, are you blessed and are you highly favored? From the very beginning, God desired a blessing, an endowment of power for His children. I'll have more to say about that in a moment. Not only did God desire a general blessing for His children, but secondly, God designed a ministry blessing for His children. God designed a ministry blessing for His children. There are times in our life when we forget or we even neglect the ministry blessing that God's given us. Look at what Paul had to remind Timothy of in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Do not neglect the what? The gift. Do not neglect the supernatural enablement. Do not neglect the supernatural power. Do not neglect the supernatural blessing that God has given you, and which was given to you by prophecy and with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Paul reminded Timothy that he had been blessed with a spiritual gift so that he could be endued with power for success, prosperity, and longevity of life. Timothy, like you or me, we sometimes forget that we are blessed and highly favored. Can I hear a witness today? Well, not only did God desire a general blessing, and not only did God design a ministry blessing, but God demonstrated a patriarchal blessing. In the Word of God, we see that God demonstrated a patriarchal blessing for His children. In Genesis 27, 26, then his father Isaac said to him, and he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, and he what? And he blessed him. He gave him a supernatural endowment for success, for prosperity, and for longevity of life. In Genesis 27, 26, we see this example being demonstrated, and we see exactly what it was like for a son to desire that, to long for that, and to wait for that. You see, a patriarchal blessing was typically passed down from the head of the household to the firstborn son, but sometimes it was passed down to the daughter. There are also examples of a more general blessing being imparted to the other children as well, but the one thing that was undeniable, every child looked forward to the day when they would receive the patriarchal blessing. Now, let's summarize again what we mean by bless or blessing. We mean that we will be endued with power for success, prosperity, and longevity of life. Whenever a son or a daughter receive the gift of the blessing from their father or from the head of the household, there were some powerful consequences that were associated with it. Let's see that within that mind. Let's show you the second thing in the message. Let's see if we can describe the importance of the blessing. If God desired a general blessing for His children, and God designed a ministry blessing for His children, and God went forward to demonstrate a patriarchal blessing for His children, let's describe the importance of the blessing. Whenever the blessing was imparted by God to His children, or by a father to his children, or by a husband to his wife, or by a wife to her husband, or to parents to their children, or a pastor to their people, or the people to the pastor, There were three things that always resulted by way of a consequence, and when I share them with you, you'll understand just how important the impartation of the blessing really is. First of all, whenever the blessing was conveyed on somebody else, whenever they were endued with power for success, prosperity, and longevity of life, unconditional love was received by that person. Can somebody say amen? Unconditional love was received by that person. You know, it says in Genesis 27:27, when Isaac was blessing what he thought was Esau, but was really Jacob, and I don't have time to straighten that confusion out for you in this message. Listen to what he said. Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has what? He said, son, just your very fragrance in my presence lets me know of a blessing of God. Just the very sight of you, just the very smell of you, just the very presence of you lets me know how much I am loved and how much I am to love you. Could any of your lives have been better if you had received unconditional love from your father or from your mother? Would you have gone down the path that you've gone down through if the love that you received was not conditional, but unconditional? That's why it's so important. We need to make sure that we have been blessed so that we can be a blessing. Dads, if you were not blessed by your father, then today's the day that you draw the line in the sand. Today's the day that you say it's been enough, and today's the day that you get your blessing, amen? So that you can be a blessing to your children. When your children come to you, do they see you with conditional love or unconditional love? We want to make sure that if we have been loving with an inferior love, which most of us do, that from this day forward, we find out what it means to love the way that God loves, and that's unconditionally. How many of you knew that if you got an A or a B on your report card, you got praise? If you got anything less than that, you got a whooping. Conditional love at its best. You say, no, preacher, if I got a C or a D, I got praised. That's unconditional love. We need to make sure that as a person and as a people and as a church, unconditional love is being received by people we come in contact with. You know, that has been one of the distinguishing marks of Truth Tabernacle of Praise, is that we have sought to love each other and to love our community unconditionally. It does not matter where you've been. It does not matter who you are. God loves you, and so do we. That is the not only the challenge that's before us, that is the commandment that's before us. And we can't love the community unless we love each other. And if we love each other, God said, by the love that you have one for the other, everybody else will know you are my disciples. And so from this day forward, ask yourself, am I blessed and am I highly favored? If I am, then I need to be loving unconditionally, because that's what happens when you have been blessed, is unconditional love is received by you. So when I tell you that I am blessed, I know I'm loved unconditionally by the one who matters the most. And that's my Creator, my Elohim, my Abba, my Redeemer, my Jehovah Jireh, my everything. He loves me perfectly, and He knows everything about me. Amen? Amen. And the same thing is true for you. Unconditional love was received by the one who got the blessing. Now, I want to talk to you for a second before I move to the second thing about this powerful thing called impartation. Impartation is the transfer of something you have to somebody else. Impartation is seen in society all the time. You can impart the good things in your life or the bad things in your life. I won't embarrass anybody and I won't belabor this point, but you'll understand it all too well. There are sexually transmitted diseases that are a gift of impartation. We know all too well that what you have, you pass on to somebody else when you are intimate with them. And it's more than a gift, it's a curse. And so if we can impart cursed things to other people, we can also impart blessed things to other people. And so what God wants you to understand is through the power of impartation, when you are allowing God to love you unconditionally, then you can impart unconditional love to somebody else. You can't give away what you don't have. But if you've got it, you can't keep it to yourself either. God wants you to impart that. The usual way, and we'll see this in just a moment, there's a tremendous transfer that can take place through the hands. Why does God talk about the affirming and confirming of a ministry through the laying on of hands? It's because tremendous impartation takes place that day. And your hands can be used for mean things, for angry things, or for gentle things. Amen? Unconditional love can be received. But number two, not only is it important because unconditional love was received, but because undeniable affirmation was released. Undeniable affirmation was released. In Genesis 27, 28, he says, "Therefore, because I'm blessing you, because you remind me of the blessing of God, because I love you unconditionally, therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and new wine." When you read that all the way out, how many of you want the goodness of heaven to fall on you like the dew from heaven? How many of you want the fatness of the earth to be a part of your inheritance? How many of you want the new wine that God's got flowing out from His innermost being, flowing through your innermost being? Then get blessed. Get blessed. Because in the blessing, unconditional love is received. An undeniable affirmation is released. But number three, unlimited acceptance was revealed. Unlimited acceptance was revealed. In Genesis 27, 29, it says, "Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Unlimited acceptance was revealed whenever somebody was blessed. That is a tremendous thing that we need to impart to our children and to our church and to our community. We need them to know that if they ever become a prodigal, that we will be like the prodigal's father. That no matter how bad you blow it, son, no matter how much you waste it, no matter how hard your life becomes, no matter how empty you come, you can always come home to daddy. You can always come and find acceptance here. It's not excusing sin. It's not changing or lowering the standards of holiness and righteousness. But it's when you blow it, and you will, you need to have someplace you can run to. The world's saying, "Now that you've blown it, run to us and stay with us." The gang say, "Now that you've blown it, stay with us." All the other different clubs out there saying, "Stay with us." But the church is the one who's shunning the most. But the church ought to be the one welcoming the most, saying, "You're welcome here. You're safe here. You're wanted here. You're needed here. You'll be healed here. You'll be set free here. You'll be blessed here." This church stands for that. Make sure you stand for it as well. What happens if you don't receive the blessing, though? What happens if unconditional love is not received, if undeniable affirmation is not released, and if unlimited acceptance is not revealed in your life? Then you fall into 1 to 7 categories, usually dependent upon your personality. There are 7 dysfunctions that I want to just list for you real quickly. Number one, without the blessing, without the supernatural endowment for success and prosperity and longevity life being imparted to our children, then they become seekers. They can become what's called a seeker. Seekers are people who are always searching for intimacy, but seldom able to tolerate it. They really enjoy the courtship, but after the relationship, they're uncomfortable receiving intimacy from their spouse. They also struggle by receiving God's love and acceptance. These seven things are coming from the book, The Gift of the Blessing, by Gary Smalley and John Trent. I recommend the book and the updated version for you as well. But a seeker, we've got a generation of seekers out there. They're out looking for intimacy, but they can't tolerate it when it's offered to them. And that's why they move from relationship to relationship. If they don't turn into a seeker, then they become shattered. They become shattered. And when somebody is shattered because of a curse instead of a blessing, instead of withholding a blessing and keeping it at arm's length, then fear and anxiety and depression and emotional withdrawal lead them to the brink of suicide, all in search of the blessing. God created us with a general need for blessing in store. And through the sin of Adam and Eve, everything that was good became dysfunctional and distorted, but the need for the blessing never went away. Just the ways we try to get it fulfilled have changed. If you don't become a seeker, if you don't become shattered, then you become a smotherer. A smotherer. Like a 2,000-pound sponge, people who have not had the blessing can suck the life, the time, and the energy from a spouse, a friend, and sometimes even a congregation. They are so emotionally empty that when the person they have been smothering tries to get some breathing room, the smotherer feels rejected and hurt all over again. But they're looking for the blessing. If they don't become a seeker or a shattered or a smotherer, then they become angry. They become angry. And as long as people are angry with each other, they will stay chained to each other. A chip is developed on the shoulder, and they go through life angry, looking for and inviting people to knock the chip off the shoulder, and it doesn't take much more than a look to do it. If they don't become angry, then they can become detached. Detached. The detached motto is once burned, twice shy. This person will spend a lifetime protecting himself or herself from ever being hurt again. That becomes their safe place. But my, oh my, what they're missing by way of what God has to offer in the blessing. If they don't become detached, then they become driven. The driven are the perfectionist, the workaholics, the notoriously neat freaks, and generally demanding individuals. These people try to get their blessing the old-fashioned way. They try to earn it. But you can never earn the blessing. It has to be received. And it can't be received if we're detached, if we're angry, if we're smothering, if we're shattered, or if we're seeking in the wrong places. And there's a last category that people can fall into, and that's the seduced. The seduced. The seduced look for love in all the wrong places. Unmet needs for love and acceptance can tempt a person towards sexual immorality. Substance abusers also initially try to cover up the hurt and their emptiness of a missed blessing with alcohol, with pills, or with other drugs of choice. They have legitimate needs, but they try to meet them in illegitimate ways. You say, "Preacher, I'm all seven of those. What do you say about me?" I say, you need a blessing. I say, you need a blessing. And God has a blessing in store for you. Amen? Well, let me move to the third part of this message. And let's see if there is a way that God has designed where we can duplicate the impartation of the blessing. If your father couldn't or wouldn't bless you, if your wife wouldn't or couldn't, or husband wouldn't or couldn't, if your parents wouldn't or couldn't, if your church wouldn't or couldn't, if the most important people in your life would not or could not impart the blessing to you, do you have to go through the rest of your life in search of the blessing? Well, I've got good news for you. No, you don't have to go through life without the blessing. God in His grace has designed a way for the blessing to be imparted to you. How do you go about getting the blessing imparted to you if the people God designed to do it won't do it or can't do it? Well, first of all, you need a person that is special to you to impart the blessing. You need a person that is special to you to impart the blessing to you. Look at what Esau cried out when he missed the blessing. In Genesis 27, verse 34, and Genesis 27, verse 38, listen to the cry of his heart. Bless me, me also, O my whom? Father. Dads, on Father's Day, one of the greatest things you could do would be to give your children, to give your spouse, give your grandchildren a blessing. A blessing from God through you to them. You say, Pastor, I would, but I've not been blessed. Well, God wants to bless you today. You need somebody that's special to you, that you could see God in them blessing or imparting to you that supernatural endowment that God has for you. It can be a husband that will bless his wife. It could be a wife that will bless her husband. It could be a friend that will bless you. It could be parents that bless the children. And children, guess what? You can even bless your parents. You can bless your parents. And there's a time when you didn't get maybe a blessing from them, but God has blessed you. Are you blessed? Are you highly favored? Then you're blessed to be a blessing. Have you received forgiveness? Have you received healing? Have you received the power and provision of God? Then return that blessing. Bless your parents, and it'll be amazing what God will do. Not only does it need to be a person that's special to you, but there needs to be a procedure that is scriptural for you. A procedure that is scriptural for you. Look at what it says in Genesis 27, 27. And he came near and what? Kissed him. He came near and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him. One of the great things about the book, The Gift of the Blessing by Smalley and Trent, is that they describe some very practical ways from the Bible at how the blessing is imparted from one person to another person. You see this in the Bible, and when you do, it just leaps off the pages to you after that. First of all, the first part of the procedure is that we need touches that are appropriate. We need touches that are appropriate. I call your attention in your outline or to the PowerPoint to a story told in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 42. What does it say? Who came to Jesus? A leper came to Jesus. We don't know that much about leprosy today because it has by and large been healed or isolated from epidemic proportions in society. But in the biblical days, if somebody was a leper and you had contagious leprosy, you had to be isolated from all of society, and the rest of society was trained and commanded by the law. If you were walking down the street and they saw you, they had to walk, you had to walk on the other side of the street from the population. Some of you know that as racism today. You have seen people that when they see you coming, they walk the other way, or there was a time when they expected you to walk the other way, and you were treated like a modern-day biblical leper. Well, it got worse for the leper. All of his or her life, He knew that he wasn't a part of society. He wasn't welcome in society. He wasn't included in society. He wasn't loved unconditionally by society. And in addition to that, whenever a leper was spotted or seen, then they had to cry out with the top of their voice, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" And so all of their life, they went through society separated, isolated, and rejected by society, understanding one thing and one thing clear: you are a defiled, unclean, unfit for society kind of a person. That's the kind of man that came to Jesus that day. And a leper came to Jesus beseeching him, falling on his knees, breaking protocol, violating the law, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me what? You can make me clean. You can make me whole. You can make me lovable. You can make me acceptable. You can make me tolerable. You can do it, Jesus, if you're just willing." And look at what Jesus said. And moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and what? He touched him. He touched him. Oh, has Jesus ever touched you? Oh, I'm telling you. That's why that one of the most powerful and meaningful ways that we can impart the blessing to our children, to our spouse, to our grandchildren is through touches that are appropriate. Now, if that's that powerful and that's what Jesus did, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. He could have spoken his word. He could have told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He could have told him to make mud pies and put it on his eyes or his body. But no, Jesus reached out and touched him. He said, "Hey, I am what? Willing. Be cleansed." Today, some of you have been wondering, am I ever going to be blessed? Am I ever going to be endued with power for success, prosperity, and longevity of life? And today, you need to come beseeching Jesus and kneeling down before Jesus and say, "If you're willing, you can make me blessed." And what you'll find is Jesus saying, "I'm willing." And he'll reach out and he'll touch you. That's why the devil knows that things like abuse and molestation are so crippling and devastating. As powerful as appropriate touches are, inappropriate touches are just as powerful in the destructive way. That's why when a child has been molested or abused, they are shattered, or they become detached, or they become angry, or they become smotherers, or they become addicted to other kinds of things, or become the seduced, all because they weren't prepared or designed for the kind of curse that was put on them through abuse. But touches that are appropriate. If you get that book, you'll read the story of a lady named Isabel. Isabel, she had a sickness that was not treatable by pain medication, but highly painful. The medical treatment that she was having to receive, and the only kind of treatment that she could get that could possibly make her exist in life, would not allow pain to be injected into her body. And she became angry, and she became combative, obviously, with the nurses as they would come in. I mean, she was a pill to work for. I mean, she was a case in and of herself, and she would curse them. She would be belligerent to them, and she would make life as miserable for them as her life was miserable in that hospital bed. The nurses didn't want to go in there anymore. And they had a come to Jesus meeting with a supervisor. And with a supervisor, she said, "Well, I'll go talk with her." And she was a 33-year veteran of nursing. You can get the picture of her, right? She goes in to have her come to Jesus meeting with Isabel. And while she's there, she's explaining to her, "These nurses really love you. They're here to try to help you." She said, "They won't help me. They won't give me anything for this." And she explained to her all over again why she couldn't have pain medicine. And then she said, "All right, if I can't have pain medicine, could I at least have a hug? And the nurse, she tells this story that she went to give her just a casual hug, but the Spirit of God said, no, give her a hug. And so in obedience to the prompting of the Spirit of God, she wrapped her arms around her and just squeezed her real good. And instantly, Isabel began to weep, and she began to cry, and cry, and cry, and cry, and she cried out years and years of pain. And then she said, all of this time, I thought you nurses hated me, but now I know you love me. Touches that are appropriate. There's a second aspect of ways that a blessing can be imparted. Not only touches that are appropriate, but words that are affirming. Words that are affirming. In Genesis 27:27, we see it modeled by Isaac. And he blessed him, and he said, my, what would it do for this generation that's coming up to receive words that are affirming instead of words that are demeaning? My, what would it do for this generation that we're trying to reach and trying to raise if they would receive blessing from us instead of cursing from us? If we would affirm them, if we would seek to build them up, if we would seek to find something positive to say to them, my, we'd make a difference in their lives. Amen? That's exactly why this church is blessed, so we can be a blessing. You know, one of the great things about this church, it might not go on at other churches and it might not be welcome at other churches, but we usually have two or three welcomes in this church on Sunday morning. We usually spend time giving one another touches that are appropriate. Now, Bubba, let me talk to you for just a moment. Don't use that time to gratify yourself. Don't use that time to go for a full frontal hug from women. It's not appropriate. That's not an appropriate touch. At best, you can give a side to side. And if somebody sets boundaries for you that says, I'm not comfortable with that, then you don't go across that boundary until they're comfortable with it. But in this close fellowship right here, one of the unique things is when we see people that's able to give touches that are appropriate in the welcome and the greeting. For some people, it's the only hug they ever get all week. For some people, it's the only positive affirmation that they ever get. And there are times when we do our welcome that we say, you've got to find somebody and you've got to speak to them and give them a word of affirmation. We're blessed to be a blessing. And the church has been blessed is a church that needs to be a blessing. Amen? Real quickly, number three. Not only do you impart the blessing through touches that are appropriate and words that are affirming, but through value that is authentic. Value that is authentic. Look at what Isaac says to what he's thinking is Esau as he's really blessing Jacob. He says, let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. He's saying, son, you're not the part of the tail. You're part of the head. Son, you're not beneath anybody. If it comes down to it, you are so valuable. You are so valuable to Almighty God and to me that one day people are going to come and they're going to serve you and recognize your authentic value as a gift from Almighty God. And so that's what we've got to do. We've got to spend time speaking true value that's authentic into the lives of the people that need the blessing. We need to show them what they can't see. We need to reverse the lie that the world, the flesh, and the devil has told them. And we need to do that by a fourth way, by showing them a future, by showing them a future that's awesome, by showing them a future that's awesome. He says, therefore, in verses 28 and 29, therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and of the new wine that he has coming your way. In other words, what we need to do is we need to take them from where they're at. And as we impart the blessing through our relationship with them. We can give touches that are appropriate, words that are affirming, value that's authentic, but also paint a picture for them that's awesome. Man, I know you've had it hard. I know you're on the bottom right now. But guess what? God's got a ladder. He's going to help climb you up out of this. I know you're down in the pit, but God will get in the pit with you. We'll get in the pit with you. And together we'll climb out of this thing together. A future that's better than the past. Amen? That's what God's got for this church. It's a future that's awesome. It's a value that's authentic. And I could affirm you all day long with the words of what God says to you. And may God continue to do this for you. But number five, you have to have a commitment that is active. You have to have a commitment to the blessing and all that it means that's active. It means it takes place, it takes more than 10 minutes of greeting on Sunday morning. It takes more than just a hi, how are you in the hallway. You're going to have to get involved in the lives of the people you want to be blessed. You're going to have to be willing to get down and dirty, hot and sweaty, and bothered with the nuisances and the nuances of life. You're going to have to be willing to meet people where they're at in order for God to take them where they should be. You can't look down your eyes at people, your nose at people, and you can't look down at other people that don't have what you've got. You've got to be thankful for what you have and try to help them to get more than you've got. An active commitment to blessing those who are in search of the blessing. Now today, what's your testimony? It's one of two things. If you have been blessed, it's so that you can be a blessing. But here's your testimony. My testimony is, I have never been blessed by the right person. But today, I want my blessing. Today, I want my blessing. Or, this is your testimony. I have been blessed, and I am highly favored. And therefore, I've been blessed in order to be a blessing. I'm going to do my part to make sure, if you're married, that my spouse is blessed. My children are blessed. My grandchildren are blessed. My church family is blessed. My community is blessed. And my co-workers are blessed. If you've been blessed, it's in order for you to be a blessing. And remember what the blessing is. It means you're endued with power for success, for prosperity, and for longevity of life. Now, if you've never been blessed, but you want to be blessed today, are you willing? Jesus is willing. Are you willing? The leper was tired of being a leper. And the world couldn't cure his leprosy. The synagogue wasn't going to cure his leprosy. The rabbis weren't going to cure his leprosy. But oh, he'd heard of a man who could cure his leprosy. And he went beseeching him and bowing down before him and said, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus was moved with compassion on him. He said, I am willing. And from this day forward, you are clean. Can you imagine what it was like for that leper? All of his life, he would have to shout, unclean! Unclean! But can you imagine the first person he passed on the way from meeting Jesus? I'm clean! I'm clean! I'm clean! Today, when Jesus touches you, when you leave here, somebody won't even have to ask you. You should be going into the restaurant. You should be going into your home. You should be going, I'm blessed! 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 And highly favored. I've been endued with power for success. God determines what success, and success begins with obedience. Are you obedient? Are you willing to be obedient to get your blessing and to declare your blessing? And if you get your blessing, are you willing to bless others? Let's bow our